to the Good Grief Conversation. I'm your host, Janet Jones, and you're listening to UK Health Radio. This programme brings you honest, gritty, emotional and inspiring conversation around a subject that affects all of us, yet is still very much taboo. So join me now for this inspiring Good Grief Conversation. Welcome to the Good Grief Conversation and week two of the Spiritual Help. In the next few weeks, I'm going to be looking at alternative perspectives on grief and trying to find a deeper way of healing and meaning. You see, when you lose a loved one or a job, a business, your home, and loss where you feel grief, any loss at all tends to have a grieving feeling to it. And it feels like your life has been blasted apart. Well, it has. And for a while, you lose your bearings, and often we struggle then to find meaning and purpose again. Now, that has certainly been my experience with all the losses in my life. And so that has taken me now down a route to find a new way of looking at things to, you know, maybe we're not finding the answers in a traditional view of grieving and following this process that we're told occurs with grief, that I wanted to look deeper and speak to people whose lives are built around this deeper view on life itself, of which grief is part. And I came across Ghislaine on LinkedIn, in fact, and it's amazing how you find connections these days. It's incredible. It started off with me following a post on Facebook, in fact, and making a comment in the comments section, and then I was led on to several people, and Ghislaine was one of these people. Ghislaine is an energy healer, and she's spent the last few decades, in fact, working on her own energy and developing an energy practice. She is based in Sydney, Australia, so we went to the other side of the world to meet the most amazing person. So join me in this conversation with Ghislaine, where we talk about energy, the effect of grief on our life, and how to turn grief into good grief. So join me now with Ghislaine Busquia in this beautiful conversation. So good morning.
Good morning, Janet. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Not too bad. Mornings are always a little bit of a challenge for me. In fact, it's something we can chat about in a minute, because I know you do energy healing and work with energy. And so we can maybe come on to that, because I don't think it's uncommon, you know, when people are going through grief, that the morning time, the energy is quite low, would you say? So, but before we go on to that, let's just chat about kind of your thoughts on grief and your experiences and things like that. Because I know grief comes in many different guises, isn't it? As we were chatting the other day, it's not only the loss of a parent all throughout life, isn't it?
That's right. I think grief is a loss of an identity. Whatever the identity was, you know, the identity of the mother, of the wife, of the worker, of the citizen of a country.
It is, isn't it? It's that loss of identity is part of the other loss as well. You know, I've said many times, I feel like I've been made redundant as a mother. You know, my other two children are older and they've left home. And that sense of like, I don't know what I do now. I don't even know how to be a mother as I used to be. So I think you're absolutely right. You lose yourself, part of yourself.
You lose yourself. That's right. And you lose yourself. It's like the cycles in life. You know, it's part of you that is gone. And time to be with yourself when that part is going is really essential. And of course, that time is different for everyone. But that, I think that really is that the first part of grief. I think the most difficult part of grief will be acceptance. accepting the loss, accepting what has gone.
Yes, because when people get made redundant, there's a huge loss there because you've lost your community, you've lost your the space where you show up and connect with your colleagues. And in fact, even now, the whole world, I think, is being affected by that.
100%. So there's one thing that grief makes us do is slow down.
But we don't like being slow, do we?
In order to be with grief, we need to slow down. We don't like to be slow because when we are slow, we're connecting. And connecting when there is grief is difficult. So I would guess to come back to your first question about the mourning being difficult is because the mourning is when you connect with your life. I remember in times of grief, I would wake up and then there would be like a little moment until the reasons of my depression, the reasons of my grief will come and hit me. But what was interesting is when I noticed that actually there was a moment before the circumstances hit you of what is going on in your life, that just that little moment. So the way we think when we are being hit by grief is essential.
Yeah, and it's a tough one, isn't it, thinking and grief, because, you know, your grief and the loss is so heart-centered. And so trying to get your mind and your heart, you know, working alongside of one another, I find is quite a challenge. I like to think of myself as a fairly optimistic person, but sometimes when the loss is so great, finding the optimism is quite hard, but not impossible.
No, and definitely not at the beginning. Trying to do that at the beginning would be robbing yourself of the verity in what is happening. Like, we are not supposed to be always happy, even when we're optimistic. That's, you know.
And even when you're on Facebook.
And yes, yeah. But I think that's where people get mixed up around acknowledging their state of mind. That doesn't mean that the state of mind has to be positive. It just means that this is how I'm feeling and I'm acknowledging and I'm having time for myself and I'm having time to be there for myself. And whatever that means, you know, for it will be very different for people.
Because time with yourself can come in many different guises, can't it? It can be a walk, it can be sitting crying, you know, it's just having the space to be with yourself. Quite often we want to change that. Consuming our time being with other people helps us to avoid the pain.
And that's okay. There's no rules. And if the truth of the moment is the avoidance of the pain, then yes, absolutely, go for that.
But then at some point you have to face the pain, because the Buddhist saying that the only way out is through.
I think in order to face the pain, there's a little bit of a distance because the pain is facing us. We don't need to face the pain. The pain is there. So it's important, I think, to allow self to get the bearings back. You know, as you've experienced in terms of grief, you get totally ungrounded. There's no ground.
You've lost your direction, haven't you? You know, and certainly those early days, you have totally lost all direction of life. And it's hard to make decisions and you don't even know what to eat, let alone what to do in a day, you know.
And that's where, you know, the community is so important. You know, I think that you couldn't be more naked in times of grief, especially when the loss has been sudden. It really rids you of everything that was constructing you. It rids you almost of your personality, of your character, of everything that you knew, of the life as you knew it, of yourself as you knew yourself, and of the idea that you had of your life.
It strips you right back to the core, doesn't it? That's the thing. It takes you right back to the very basic side of yourself. We build our lives around us, don't we? We build our stories around us. And when something like that happens, when you haven't chosen it, because we were chatting the other day and there's also grief on things that you choose in life, which is a big surprise. You know, you were saying about you moving from Paris to Australia and, you know, people think, oh, how exciting. But, you know, tell us a little bit more about that experience, Gillian, because this is something I don't think people join the dots on. And I was speaking to your friend Sue, who did the same.
No, that's right. My migration, moving from one country to another, has a big grief process attached to it. So for me, even though I chose it on a conscious level, I didn't choose everything that was going. So the reason why I left Paris to come to Sydney is I met who was to become my husband. And it's not something that I had planned. And it's not something that I really wanted, but it so happened that I met him, I fell in love, and then my life took a direction that I hadn't planned. You know, I never thought it would. You know, just to cut a story short, went back to France to finish my study. I was quite young. I was 23. So I finished my studies and then came back to Australia to live with him. It's only 3 days after arriving in Sydney that it actually hit me that I had let go of everything that I knew. I had let go of my identity as the young Parisian that I was. I was coming into a country where the language was different, the sense of humor was different, the food was different, everything was different, the lifestyle was different, people's behavior were different. So it was a big loss. And even though I had that man that I loved in my life, that's all I had. That's all I had. And everything else I had gone. My family, my friends, my culture, everything I knew about life had gone. Yeah, so that was a big grieving process, but it was a slow one. As opposed to, I guess, you know, if you lose someone, then it's quite violent. You go through acute grief. As mine had become chronic more than acute. You know, like chronic, like it was part of my life. I had lost something. That loss, it took me many years actually to heal myself of that. Because it was, you know, when something is chronic, it's not as in your face.
No, it's not as clear and obvious, is it? And other people can't help to nurture you or anything. It's yours and yours alone, really.
And there's nothing wrong with you. You know, it's not like people are going to come and say, hey, what, you know, like what happened?
That's homesickness as well, isn't it? That people talk about homesickness, but not realizing actually homesickness is grieving. It has the same emotional connection as any loss whatsoever.
Through that loss, I had to find new bearings.
No, it's fascinating that.
The cycles in nature, there's, you know, when something dies, the new comes in. And for me, it took a while for the new to come in because I got lost in being lost.
Looking back now, do you think that there would have been things that you could have done to heal that more quickly or, you know, just change a few things that would have given you a different result?
No, because actually it was perfect. It was perfect for me to experience that loss. I don't think there's nothing I could have done because my truth was that I was grieving and I was grieving. As I said, it wasn't acute, it was just chronic. So it was just in the background, but always there. And that actually was the drive for me to start a totally new life, to learn about healing. The loss of everything that I knew, the loss of my identity, forced me to look for what other identity could I have.
That's true, because it's okay to say, you know, you've lost who you were before and lost your identity. But like for me, I'm still in the same place. My friends are the same. They see me as the same, but I know I'm not. And it's now finding that new identity. And I don't know what that looks like.
So the new identity is actually the gift of the grief. And that new identity is something that comes to you. It's actually in being and in allowing yourself to connect to the grief, to connect to who you are. You know, for me, grief is like a spiritual awakening. And any type of grief, may them be, you know, sudden and violent or just, you know, low-key in the background, it will be the emotion of the state of being that will have for result the quickest spiritual awakening that one can go through. I think that there's no recipe, but through grief, what one can discover is allowing to be with yourself. When there is grief, it's like the world on the outside, you know, goes at a pace that you can't follow anymore. You can't be in that world. You've lost that world. And it's hard to recreate a world that will be more connected on a vibrationally to how you are now and to how you feel.
Yeah, because you do feel like you've gone to another level of living somehow.
Absolutely.
That also means that deep down you feel disconnected to the people around you. I don't know whether that is a temporary phase or whether you then need to reconnect with others who are on this different level, or, you know, what do you think of that?
I think that the idea is to connect with self. Yeah, so you disconnect with others because no one can really understand. There is no logic to grief. No one can understand what you've gone through. What you're going through will be different because we are all different human beings. So for you, it's something will be more tender than in another person. I think what grief does and what grief did for me is it allowed me to discover who I was really. And it allowed me to learn to be with myself. It takes time. I think for me, what takes time is it took me a long time, first of all, to realize I was in grief.
That it was just humming in the background, eh?
I had no idea. My body is what, you know, communicated that with me, because I ended up having many chronic symptoms. That was the result of the grief having an impact on my immune system.
There's a great book, have you heard? It's called The Body Keeps Score.
That's right, yeah. The Body Keeps Score, yes.
And it absolutely does.
Another great book also is When the Body Says No, about trauma.
Oh, really? I haven't heard that
one. It's beautiful, yeah. Gabor Maté is the author. He talks about trauma, and grief is trauma. And we've all had trauma in our lives. We all had grief.
And trauma is part of living as well, isn't it? Going back to what we were saying earlier, we're not meant to constantly be in the state of, you know, this elevated happiness, the image of happiness that we've been given. Life does have its ups and downs. I think what's tougher now is we live such isolated lives. Whereas in years gone by, when we were in community, you know, there were people around helping to nurture you also. Whereas now, you have to do all your nurturing yourself, which is a good thing and it's a bad thing too.
Yeah, I think community now is different. It's not so much the people that, you know, in the old ways, you know, that would come and look after you, even though that is still happening, that kind of community. But it's now reaching to further, you know, it's like,
well, we're a community. I mean, we've only just met, but I feel like we're friends already.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the community now is different. And, you know, in nurturing, and what grief sometimes allow us to do is to open ourselves up to be nurtured. So, because you're vulnerable. You know, sometimes grief has that, you know, it's like a baseball bat that hits you. And so you're all broken. Then you have to reconstruct who you are, and you have the choice then to let go of actually what was there in your personality, in your life, that wasn't true to you. So I think grief is a fantastic opening to that. It opens you.
So it's a good cleansing opportunity, isn't it?
It's an amazing cleansing opportunity.
So what can we do then to do that cleansing? Is it a case where we just sit down and write lots of things out?
The cleansing comes from the heart and comes from the emotions that we feel and comes from feeling them, allowing ourselves to feel them. What I found that saved me from grief was the breath, because it allowed me to connect to, you know, with the breath, to connect to the heavens and to connect to the earth. And I found that in terms of grief, the practice that I started doing was just to sit and just be, and to invite the earth through my feet to take care of me. You know, that Mother Earth, take care of me. And what relieves grief? Grief in traditional Chinese medicine lives in the lung. In the lung, yes. And lung is our connection to the heavens. And grief also lives in the large intestine. They work in pair, large intestine and grief, they complete each other. Large intestine is our connection to the earth.
Okay, so you got your lung connecting you to the heavens, the higher power.
That's right.
Yeah, large intestine is connecting you to the Mother Earth.
That's right. And grief lives in that large intestine. And lungs helps us to let go.
Which makes sense, because it's why there's always an eating problem somewhere along the line, either not eating enough, eating too much. I guess that's that part of you that's asking to be acknowledged and nurtured.
So that's why nurturing self is very, very important at the beginning.
That is interesting, because you know that you hear of chicken soup for the soul, and chicken soup is a really homely, well, it certainly is in this side of the world, a homely, nurturing, comforting food to eat.
So through my grief, this is what I've learned to do. I've learned to nurture myself, regardless of how I'm feeling, just acknowledging. And when I acknowledge the feeling, as opposed to the thought that brings the grief, it's two different things. There's the thought. So I'm going to think about or to remember what I've lost. And that brings in a lot of pain. From the heart is, I'm going to be with that pain and I'm going to allow myself to feel it. You know, sometimes we have to do that in increments, because the feeling sometimes is too much for us to be with, and it's to realize that. It's really learning to be in peace with yourself, like not asking yourself to feel positive when you can't. No pressure. And for me, the first thing when I, in 2016, I realized that I was suffering from Lyme disease. And I had to let go before I realized that, or just when I realized that, I decided to let go of my practice as an energy healer, because I needed to focus on myself. Yes. And the first thing that came to me is, you've got to stop lying. You've got to stop pretending. The lies that I was having were whatever would make me look like I was fitting into society. You know, all those things that actually they don't really resemble me, but I'm going to do them because this is what we do.
And that helps you with your bearings. That allows you to fit back in. With grief, it's calling you to set up completely different bearings and to just be reconnecting to society's roadmap, if you will. That isn't allowing the truth of the grief.
Grief in that way can allow you to just let go of what isn't true to you, because there's no time for that. There's no time, no energy for that.
Not honoring your own truth is an exhausting thing.
And you know, it takes time. It takes a lot of time to actually realize what my truth is, because we are so ingrained into living a lifestyle that might not necessarily be ours. You know, like having to be at work at 9. Maybe for us, it's better to sleep in a little more in the morning and go to work at 11 and to stay until 7. That would be more, you know, my truth. But I can't, because I'm part of society. You know, it's like we were talking a bit before about the grief that comes with COVID, that people had to let go of the way they used to live. And for many people, when you talk to them, they actually say, oh, I quite enjoyed it, because I could actually be more of myself.
Yeah, because the pressure's not on, is it, to get on the subway and be somewhere. And
the pressure wasn't even there to socialize. You know how people feel bad when they can't socialize? They feel, you know, lonely. And so all of that was taken away. And all you had to nurture really was the relationship with yourself. And that was difficult, because many of us don't know how. So I always felt that the COVID-19, that's what it taught us to do. you know, letting go of that us.
Certainly in those early days, yeah. I had so many people the first 4 or 5 weeks going through terrible things, you know, myself included. Oh, that was really a major thing for me because I was then completely abandoned in my home, completely alone. And facing this, like with nowhere to go, you know, I can't phone a friend and go meet somebody for lunch or lighten my day somehow. So it was torture. But I would say that it was also part of the healing. Society wants us to move away from pain all the time. I mean, look at the amount of painkillers and drugs on the market and, you know, even antidepressants and things like that just to numb you. But actually, walking through that pain is part of the healing process. But you don't know how many times you're going to have to walk through the pain. But it does come in waves. You know, it's like you go through and then you're out and then you're through again.
You might have to go through the pain as long as you live, but the pain will be very different.
What's a quote by C.S. Lewis? The pain now was part of the happiness then. You can't avoid happiness because of your fear of pain. But what if you could turn that pain into happiness?
It does. It actually happens that the pain transform into well-being. How does that happen? That, you know, through grief, through acceptance of what is, through letting go of what isn't true to you, all the actions, all the words, that you create a connection with yourself that maybe you didn't have before.
I'm just writing all this down. This is really good. Find your truth, learning to letting go, and that will then give you the greater connection to yourself.
So grief is the pathway to know who you are. You won't know who you are through happiness somehow, because grief slows you down. Yeah? And that's why it's really important that when you feel grief, you allow yourself to slow down.
And that's also interesting when you look at what is going on in the whole of the world at the moment that has slowed down. And now people are now looking at the world and all the wrongdoings. And there are so many protests going on because it's actually giving people the chance to look at what the truth of our society has become. So maybe this is going to bring on, you know, greater change than we could ever have imagined. And so if grief leads to good things, then this is going to lead to some really good stuff.
I think we're, you know, in our society, we're addicted to good things as we're addicted to sugar. That feeling good. But what if you start feeling good about yourself just because you are who you are, not because of what's happening in your life, not because of what you've done, or just because you are?
And find a deeper happiness.
So when I've let go of my practice for a year in 2016, because I felt that the truth was that I needed to take care of myself, you know, to be in integrity, because my focus was going to be on myself, on healing the body that was talking. So I needed to look. And even though I was a therapist, I needed now to do something, a deepening in the soul search that would lead me to free myself of something that was creating the disease in my body.
And how are you getting on with that? Are you healing?
I have never felt so good in my life for the last 30 years.
Once you start getting rid of the trappings of life, you start to feel better.
And that's right. And when I've started to have a relationship with myself. So the relationship is such now that anything, everything can be happening on the outside world. I've got me. So I'm always solid.
And how have you done that?
So whatever happens on the outside world, it doesn't really matter because I have a relationship with me. And it's okay if I feel grief. It's okay if I feel pain. It's okay if I'm devastated. I know now how to be with that so that it can transform into another state of being. The only reason I think why we get stuck into a so-called negative emotion, it's because we're not allowing for that emotion to express itself. We're afraid of it. And I think that when you make peace with your emotions, when you make peace with grief, when you make peace with anger or guilt, you know, all those low vibrations, emotion, when you make peace with them, that it's okay for you to feel that.
And it's amazing how different you feel when you're in that situation and you tell yourself, this is okay. It's amazing the change that that makes, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's being the mother for the child inside of you that has gone stressed and afraid and lost.
It's funny with this one. I remember I lost my dad years ago in 1994. My dad took his life. These are two very different scenarios as well, because going back to that, I think the child in me was really hurt. And so over the years, I did a lot of nurturing of the inner child and things like that. And then I was thinking just recently, what makes this one so different? And what it is it's the woman in me that's now hurting. And so therefore it's like, now I need to nurture the woman of me. That's kind of more complicated, I think, because now the woman has history. It's not like getting your inner child and sitting her on a knee and giving her a hug. It requires a different nurturing somehow.
I think that the adult will get stronger as the child gets more loved. Yeah, even if it's the woman in you that needs nurturing, the emotions that you will be feeling, you know, most of the time connected with the child in you. You know, when you mentioned not knowing about being a mother, it's the child inside that doesn't know how to be or who she's supposed to be.
So you would still say that it still goes back to inner child?
Yeah, for me, it always goes back to the inner child, because the inner child is our essence.
That makes perfect sense.
How understandable is that you don't know how to be a mother, because at the moment, you need to be mothered. You see, so why even thinking about mothering anyone is not a fair thought to what is happening in truth for you right now. And that's why I find the practice of connecting with Mother Earth, yeah, so healing. Because when I connect with her, then I don't need to do anything. You know, being a mother, there's a doing in there that you can't do.
Like you do energy healing and stuff. That energy, I forget who it is. I've read a few times now, it's a conscious energy table. Do you know what I'm talking about? That Richard Hawkins.
Yes, Richard Hawkins, yeah, power versus force is his, and I love that table.
I vaguely know, I can't say that I completely understand it, but it keeps coming into my world the more of these conversations that I'm having.
Okay, so Richard Hawkins was a psychiatrist, and he learned to muscle test, which is what we do in kinesiology. So we get a feedback from a muscle in our body. So it's a fabulous biofeedback mechanism that our body sends us. I think the easiest way to understand about how the tone of our muscle express our state of being is when you feel happy, when you feel that everything is okay in your life, when you feel in charge and strong, it's easy to stand erect. There's no posture problem in that state of being. When you feel discouraged or hopeless, helpless, despair, it's really hard to maintain a good posture because all your muscles have weakened in a way. That's how the principle of muscle testing works. So something that is good for you will give a strong muscle indicator.
So how do you do that? Can you do that on yourself? Can you, or do you need something?
You can do that on yourself, yeah. So with Richard Hawkins, what he did is he did a lot of clinical experiences and he muscle tested the state of consciousness of people. And I've got the table actually just there. I'm writing a book at the moment and I'm using his work because I think it's fascinating. So for him, in his map of consciousness, shame, guilt, and apathy are in the lowest state of vibration of a human being. So when we feel that, let's say that our light is not really strong. And I think what is really, really important to state here is that It's not about ignoring yourself when you're feeling shame, guilt, or apathy. It's about being with yourself, because that means that there's a part of yourself that needs something from you.
So you need to nurture that. So be with yourself.
That's right.
Get grounded and give nurture to those experiences.
Because they are awful feelings to feel.
And they don't really get you anywhere.
And they don't get you anywhere.
Because when I look at the charts and as it goes up, the numbers get higher. And then like everything, it then becomes an aim. So then you go, oh, but now I'm feeling that. So now I feel even worse because I now know I'm on the lower end of the scale. So we've got to be careful of that. That's the ego getting involved, isn't it?
Absolutely. It so doesn't work like that. It's not a binary system of good and bad. It's just a system of what is. In his map of consciousness, it's actually really interesting to notice that you come into the green, into the positive. Conscience is courage. Courage is what gets you there. Courage to feel shame. Courage to feel grief is what is going to take you out of that. So he talks about apathy, and apathy for him is one of the worst states because there's nothing that happened. It's like almost, you know, being dead alive. And grief is what starts the whole process of the movement in the body. You know, he says, and I know in my practice also, when somebody starts crying, you know that healing is going to happen. So grief is really important in the healing process.
I hear a lot of people saying, but I haven't cried yet. Is there something wrong with me?
There's no rules. And sometimes the crying happens 20 years later. Because in order to be able to cry, you need to feel safe enough. You won't cry. You won't be able to allow yourself to cry if you don't feel safe. So that means if the nurturing is not in place, if you don't feel that you're being carried. So carrying by Mother Earth, carried by France, carried by your own gentleness. But, you know, you need to feel safe in order to be able to cry.
It is part of life. But one of the lovely things that you've said there is that grief is the pathway to knowing who you are. And that, I believe, is our reason. I think that's our purpose. We're always looking for purpose elsewhere. But actually, I think the purpose is to know who you are.
Yeah, here I am jumping on my chair because yes. Yeah, you've got it. This is it.
You've got it.
The purpose is not what we do. The purpose
knowing who you are
is to improve the relationship that we have with ourselves. It's to allow love in.
And be love. Allow love in and be love.
And be love, yes.
Without moments of grief in our lives, we're not going to be opened up to let the light in, are we? As tough as that feels. And obviously the severity of the grief, and like you were saying, when it's a trauma and the instant change of a life, it is punishing beyond belief. But just to keep the faith and just know that your grief is going to turn good.
And know that what goes with grief is loneliness, feeling alone, especially when we've lost someone. It's actually to realize that you are not alone, that love, consciousness is all around you. And in times of grief, if you can open yourself to receive it, it's a lot easier for us to give love through actions than to allow ourselves to be and to receive love.
Oh, it's so much easier to give than it is to receive.
So much easier. And grief can open you up to receive that.
You know, I've reached points like I have to surrender to receiving. Certainly in the early days, there was nothing to give of me anyway. And it was only through other people's receiving or receiving from others that I was able to build up my inner strength so that I can now give again. It's a tough lesson to learn. We are really givers rather than receivers.
Absolutely, because it's safer to give than to receive. In order to receive, as you said, you need to allow, you need to put yourself in a state of vulnerability.
Which we all want to avoid, really, because being vulnerable is quite scary, but it's powerful. And I guess that's where the courage comes in, It's the courage to be vulnerable, to open up and sit with yourself.
You know, and when I was talking about before about all the lies, the things that we do that are not ourselves, the masks that we put on in order to feel accepted, in order to fit in.
Or even to cover our pain as well, to cover up.
All of that, it's through the vulnerability of learning to receive. And I want to say of the humility also of receiving. You know, and that humility has to do with acceptance. And I think there's a thought that can really prevent acceptance and humility and vulnerability is to think that something is wrong, something has gone wrong. All those kind of thoughts, you know, all the regrets and is a real prevention to allowing yourself to relax, because those thoughts, they keep you contracted, they keep the body contracted. And when the body is contracted, there's not movement of emotion, so the emotion gets stuck.
And there's not movement of oxygen either. So when your body's contracted, there's not the same oxygen flow. And so it's all connected, isn't it? The physical and the non-physical.
You know, it's Eckhart Tolle. Life will give you whatever experience is most helpful for the evolution of your consciousness. How do you know this is the experience you need? Because it is the experience you are having at this moment, as hard as it can be to accept, but this is it. And it's there for the evolution of your consciousness.
Yeah, and it can't be any other way, but it's the pathway. And not to lose faith and just know that, as Eckhart Tolle, it is the way that it is.
You know, it was part of your son's soul contract to live at this time. And how amazing that he left doing something that he loved. And for me, this is absolutely amazing. And that so his life continues into what he always loved doing.
Yeah, hopefully that meant that he moved on as a happy soul, you know. And that's all you can do is to hope that life has continued happily for, you know, our loved ones that have passed. I do occasionally say about losing Murray, and I don't really mean, I mean losing him in the physical sense, whereas I do know that he's passed into another space, another realm, or I do sense that, but I don't want it. So that's the bit that I come up against. So yeah, I get that, and that's very nice, but I don't want that. But as Eckhart Tolle has just said, it is the way that it is.
The Greek philosopher Epictetus, 2,000 years ago, I was just reading his manual the other day, and he says that in time of loss, do not say, I have lost, I have given him back. He or she was given back, as opposed to I have lost him or I have lost her.
Yes, a little more gentle, isn't it?
I gave him back to the realms of angels, or, you know, however people's belief system is.
And the gentle language that you want to choose for yourself as well. I think that's where it's so personal. But if we sit with ourselves, we can find that language and find that visualization that we can soften it somehow, I guess. But yeah, fascinating. But I do believe that grief can become good.
Grief is good. Grief is extremely painful, but grief is good.
And regardless of what the grief has been brought to you, whether it's COVID-19 and you're not seeing your family, or whether you've lost a job, you know, your relationship's broken up, it is important to sit and give time to that grief, including when you've gone on an exciting journey and travelled to the other side of the world to live in a beautiful country. Acknowledge that there's grief in certain decisions and sit and nurture that.
Allow yourself to be with the shock of it, because the shock also, you know, is an important part.
Because that's all the energy bit as well, isn't it? You know, that shock comes with a certain amount of energy. And when we lose something, it feels like your energy has been sucked out of you also. So I guess it's about rebalancing our energies around us.
That's right. Like something has been taken out of us. We didn't say we wanted that to happen. And it's been taken out of us. It's It's like we've been robbed of something and we're going to shock. And grief allows you to slow down in order to adjust to the new reality.
Yes, that makes perfect sense. And on that perfect sense note, I think we can wrap this conversation up. Ghislaine, that's been lovely. I love investigating people's thoughts on grief and what it means to them. And it's been absolutely fascinating. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Janet, for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you later. Well, I hope that you got a lot from that conversation and have found some of the ways to help you to ease your grief and to find the strength in your transition to who you are meant to be. To find out more about Ghislaine, then go to her website, which is www.harmonykinesiology.com. And that's Harmony with IE. So harmonykinesiology.com. And you can find her on Facebook and LinkedIn also. She's an amazing woman, so do connect with Ghislaine. And of course, all the links to Ghislaine will be in our podcast extras. Ghislaine has also made a really beautiful video of a breathing meditation, and you'll find that in the podcast extras too. So for those, go over to thegoodgriefconversation.com and just sign up for podcast extras. If you would like to support this conversation, and your support is always greatly received, then there are several things that you can do. You can join us over on Facebook, which is facebook.com/thegoodgriefconversation. And you can like our page and come and make comments and listen to all our shows. There's links to all the shows from there. You can also go to thegoodgriefconversation.com and sign up for podcast extras, where I've given you an opportunity to be able to make a small donation to keep this conversation going. One of those donations is the price of a paperback book, and the other one is the price of a hardback book. Of course, this information is always available for free too, but your donation is greatly received. And you will also find many, many gifts from our guests so far. There are incredible things in there to help you with the transition into your new life. So just head over there to thegoodgriefconversation.com. And once again, a very special thank you to my guest, Ghislaine Busquia. Do connect with Ghislaine, and I'm sure we will have her back on the program too, because there is lots more to discuss with Ghislaine. You are listening to UK Health Radio. I am your host of The Good Grief Conversation, Janet Jones, and I look forward to connecting and speaking with you next week, where we have more about our spiritual journey to transitioning to the new life after grief. You take care of yourself, and I look forward to speaking to you then. Bye for now.